Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for April 12, 2016. The time right now is 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Scarborough.
Thank you. And please let the record show that I received a phone call from Councilmember Cutaback both yesterday and today. She is out ill this evening and will not be here this evening. Councilmember Camp, will you please lead us in the pledge?
Your Honor.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we begin, we have one item that we would like to add to this evening's agenda. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to add an agenda item. Move to add an item to the agenda, AB 16049, authorize mayor to sign master agreement with Department of Corrections for offender work crew projects.
Second. Okay, I have a first and a second to add that item to the agenda. I would propose that we add it under final action number 4. We have a first and a second on that. Is there any discussion on the motion to add that to the agenda? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is announcements and presentations. We have one presentation this evening. This is from the Monroe Boys and Girls Club. It's a request for HVAC replacement assistance. Come on forward, state your name and address for the record.
Bill Sicalis, Boys and Girls Club of Snohomish County, Executive Director, 9502 19th Avenue Southeast, Everett, Washington. Thank you. It's good to be in front of you again, Mayor, Council members. As you know, our organization has had a long partnership, relationship with the City of Monroe, over 19 years since we partnered with the construction of the Boys and Girls Club. I'd like to begin by just giving you a map of our organization so you can see what we look like today. If you want to just hand one down, I think there's enough for everybody. So once you see that, as the agenda says, we're making a request this evening to, for HVAC replacement assistance. Our definition of assistance is to have you do it, but that's why we're here to discuss it, first talk about how we got to 2016. So our history here in Monroe started in 1980 across the street at Frank Wagner Elementary in what was the bus barn back then. 1980, that was club number 6 on that map that you see. Today there's 21 locations that we have, and we've actually branched outside of Snohomish County as more and more places want what we do. Almost all of the blues, all the locations there are similar to what we have with you. We have partnerships primarily with cities, school districts, and Native American communities. And that's been our model, is to work in partnership with on a landlord-tenant relationship, which is what we have here. So, just to refresh your memories, I know I was here a year or so ago. I think we covered this, but I think it's always good context. In the early 90s, mid-90s, you sold some property on Highway 2 where Fred Meyer is, and then you asked your residents what you'd like to do with that funding. And you sent it out through, I think, a water bill or utility bill or something, and 90% of the responses came back and said, let's move across the street and build on the property that you have here. Which we did. So you dedicated $1.1 million from that sale to do the construction of the building, which was about 13,000 square feet. We've contributed through our original lease agreement. We agreed to put $120,000 of our own funding into that facility as well. That was back in July 1, 1997, 10-year lease with 5-year options. And we did exercise those options. And then in 2004, we just began conversations about adding on to the building. The first phase was phase one. We designed it so that we could add the extra square footage. And then we went on a campaign and raised about $500,000. And we added 3,600 square feet, which is the area now that it's a teen center and a multi-purpose room. And then in addition to that, we freshened up the building and sectioned off part of the games room for the computer lab. We did that, but we asked for a lease extension, which you granted back then. And the current lease was extended out to from July 1, 07 to June 30, 2027. So we're in the midst of that lease right now, and then there's 1 5-year option on that lease. The original lease, in part of that, section 10 of that lease on care of premises, we were responsible for the maintenance, the cleaning of it, and the upkeep of the systems. The city was responsible for the replacement of the major systems, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. When we renewed that, when we extended that lease, that provision was relaxed, and we became responsible for not only the maintenance and operations, but the replacement of the major units in there as well. So we recognize that, even though we're making a request asking for the city for assistance to help us replace the HVAC. And this, the systems that we're talking about are the old part of the building, the original part of the building that was when we opened in 1997. So it's the part of the building that's 19 plus years old now that is giving us problems and needs to be replaced. The price tag on that is about $10,300. The area, the new addition, the phase two, that's newer, obviously. It's about 10 years. We did that in 06, about 10 years old, but that'll be facing us sometime downstream as well. As you know, the club is well used. There's approximately 1,100 kids that belong to the club, and you know, with Jeff's leadership, it's doing better than ever in terms of usage and the importance to you and your residents and the kids. So with that summary, I guess, I'd be glad to answer a question or two. You know, well, I guess I'd add one other thing. We have been doing regular maintenance on the HVAC systems. We contract that out to Evergreen State Heat and Air Conditioning. They come in regularly to service the units, just like you would here, I'm assuming, in your own facilities. And so that has not been neglected. We have been doing that, but there's a life on those things, as you know. Eventually, they have to be replaced, and that's what we're asking you to consider to cover the cost or help us cover the cost in some sort of shared arrangement on that. We've also made since over the last 14 months, not only have we done the regular service on those, we've actually put in about almost $4,000 in replacements ourselves on parts of that system. But we're facing this kind of a total replacement of those units now versus just trying to keep them running the way we've been doing it. So we've both done it on the gym units as well as the main part of the building. So about almost $4,000, including and not counting the annual or the quarterly maintenance that we do on it. All total in that 14 months period, including maintenance and out of pocket replacement, with it's about $5,500 that we made in that 14 months period. So any questions regarding that or the operation of the club, I'd be glad to answer it. You know, again, we value the partnership. We understand the terms of the lease, so we're not ignoring those, but we're asking for your assistance to see if you can help us take care of those.
Thank you, and we thank the Boys and Girls Club for all the work that you do for our community. You give kids in our community a place to go and a place to be that's safe, and so thank you for that. I'm going to first recognize Mr. Brazel and then Councilmember Hanford. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, Bill. If this is something that Council would like to entertain, I would just need two Council members to ask to have this put on a future agenda. Staff would then review the matter, the contract, work with the City Attorney to find out if this is indeed something we can do, and then we could talk about it at a later date.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
That's one of the things I was going to say, so I'd be looking for another councilmember support.
So do I understand that that was a, you moved to put this on a future agenda for council?
And I'm not making a motion. I'm just asking if we could direct staff.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
That sounds like Councilmember okay. Hamels.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good.
Thank you. So that was my first thing I was going to talk about. Just to clarify, so it's going to be air conditioning as well, or is this just the heat portion of the furnace?
I don't have the specifics. I know it's the HVAC for sure, but okay. I'm guessing it's also including the AC units as well. They're combined, so I think.
That's what I figured, yeah. But I hate to spend a bunch of money on air conditioning. So.
Yeah, I believe it's well ready. Correct.
And then second question, just to clarify, so looks like total out-of-pocket is going to be $9,340, if I'm reading that correctly.
If that's what you have in front of you,
$10,340. Okay. It says town materials on the estimate is $10,340 plus tax. Deduct $1,000 from the above for donation to Boys and Girls Club. So it sounds like you're looking for $9,340 plus the tax.
Yeah, it sounds like we threw something into the kitty to help cover some of the costs.
And so how much of that are you looking to for assistance?
Well, my definition of assistance, what I said at the front end, was for the city to donate it.
Councilmember Hanford, I'm going to ask you to yield the floor briefly to recognize Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Sure. Thank you. You know, being said that it's going into a little more discussion, I should actually acknowledge the fact that I am employed with the Boys and Girls Club, and ask the city clerk to note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting of this, or for the remainder of this item. Reason for my recusal is that I am employed by the Boys and Girls Club of Snohomish County. My position with the organization is that of an employee. My compensation consists entirely of a fixed salary. There's no contingent component in my compensation package. Pursuant to RCW 42.23.040, and based on my consultation with the attorney and city administrator, I currently have at most a remote interest in the agreement and am removing myself from the participation in this matter going forward.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you.
Please let the record show that Councilmember Rasmussen has left chambers, and we'll come out and get you when we're done. Thank you, sir. Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. So it sounds like you're asking us to fund the entire thing. Have you applied for grants from anywhere else, or have you?
We have not.
Okay.
We have not done that, so we're asking the city to take care of this.
Okay. If the city were to deny the request, do you have staff that can? Do you have grant writers you can access, or?
Yeah, we would look for alternative funding to do that.
Okay. I only ask because that's kind of what I do on the side in my other life, and so I know there's lots of organizations that fund things exactly like this, so that's why I'm asking.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Councilmember Gamble.
Just a question on, so it's obvious you budget the operating expense for repairs throughout the year. Is this the replacement cost? Is that something that, so I'm getting that you don't budget for replacement of the asset, even the one that probably 10 years from now you made mention to the other one?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, it's not that we have not put in, made an investment in the facility side. You know, I think I tried to make that point, both with the initial construction and then the original phase one and then the addition of phase two. So we've contributed over $600,000 into the construction of the facility, plus, you know, the M&O and the operating costs of, you know, the staff to do it. So I'm mindful of that, but... no, we typically do not plan or budget for these kinds of replacements.
Okay.
But we do look for alternative sources, and we will look for alternative sources if that's the only option that we have. But we wanted to see if the city would entertain and consider it before we did that.
Fair enough. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough. Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I was trying to find out, do you have a similar agreement with the city of Snohomish?
Yes.
And how did you work that out?
They take care of the shell, they take care of the major items. So each one of our leases are structured a little bit differently. Some are like yours, and some where we're responsible for the entire facility.
Right.
And others, the landlord is responsible for the major units, including the shell, which would be the roofing and so forth.
And you had a similar situation where you needed to replace the furnaces in Snohomish?
We would have the same issue in any of our facilities.
And how does Snohomish finance it for you?
They budget. I mean,
do they pay for all of it?
I'm sorry?
Do they pay for all of it, half of it?
No, they would cover the cost of it.
They cover the cost? Okay. The other thing I was curious about, have you accepted this offer? The reason I ask is it's dated February 12th and it says it's good for 30 days.
We have not accepted it.
Okay, so this is still a valid offer then?
Yeah.
Okay, and that was it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
And some of the confusion might be Councilman Hanford's question. In the second line of the second paragraph, it says the space is too large for a single gas furnace. So maybe that's where the question comes. Is this a heating unit? Is it air conditioning and heating unit, you know, like a heat pump? Is it the whole unit? Those things might be a question, or they could be clarified. And secondly, I would think that we'd like to see, or personally, I think I'd like to see what grants and what monies the Boys and Girls could come up with first, and then we would know how much you would be asking us for. And you don't have to answer that question right now.
All right, anything further?
No.
Okay, so this will be coming back to council in the next couple weeks or so. We'll go over that on the extended agenda, and I'm sure somebody from staff will be back in touch with you to let you know when that's coming back before council.
Yeah, we appreciate the time, and again, we value the partnership, you know, look forward to working with staff on the resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
No, and I'd just like to reiterate what Gene and the mayor said from the standpoint of the service that you provide to the community. I mean, the place is always packed with kids. It's one of our hubs. We have a couple of them in the community, and you're definitely one of the main ones, and right next to our shining parks, you know, right next door to it, and it's always full. So we appreciate the partnership.
Yeah, like I said, we don't take the relationship lightly. We hope we're doing a job for you. We believe we are, but it's good to hear the validation. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
All
right, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of... Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. All right, Councilmember Hanford has let Councilmember Rasmussen know that we're finished, and Councilmember Rasmussen and Hanford are both back in the room. All right, so this is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker, and we have Mr. Greg McPherson who has signed up. Mr. McPherson, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Bear with me.
I'm too old. I need to see what I've written. Good evening. My name is Greg McPherson. I'm a resident of Monroe. It was brought to my attention that in the last meeting, some comments were made with regards to the company that I'm a principal of, so I wanted to come and address those. I brought a paper copy for the reporter. So, a little background for you. On October 23rd, 2012, a backhoe went through a piece of fiber on Chain Lake Road. And in the process, it took out almost all of the cellular service, almost all of the data service, and it also took out E911. It made the paper. Subsequently to that, I approached the Department of Public Works, and I made the suggestion to them that it might behoove them for us to work in partnership, myself and the city, to set up a high-performance broadband wireless access network for consumers, businesses, and possibly emergency responders if they were interested. I worked for almost a year with the Department of Public Works. We drafted an agreement. The agreement was reviewed and approved by the City Council in December of 2013. The City Attorney signed it in January of 2014. Constellation Telecommunications, that's me, has not yet executed that agreement. That came up last week. I wanted to give some responses to some specific comments that were made during the last council meeting. The comment was made that I have recently been pursuing permitting, and that's correct. I was informed that the planning and permitting process was required. I was informed after the agreement was signed and executed by the mayor and the city attorney. Reviewing the agreement, there's no mention of planning and permitting anywhere in the text. I plead ignorance. I spent a couple of brief, less than 20-minute meetings with the City of Monroe Planning and Permitting, and in the spirit of tonight, I want to make the offhand comment that everybody I've dealt with in the city, whether it be people present here from the mayor on down, everybody's been very helpful and friendly and cooperative with me, so I appreciate that. So I spent a couple of times with them. I'm subsequently informing that they're only interested in permitting for a single water tank site within the city limits, and the site is not usable for me, unfortunately. The city sent me, or instructed me, to go to the Snohomish County, where I've been engaged with them. I've had three meetings with them since March 24th. The comment was made that I do not wish to sign the agreement, and on the contrary, I very much like to initiate the project. It just so happens, however, that executing the agreement is going to start a 90-day clock that requires me to install and test the equipment. As a result of the addition of planning and permitting process, I would not be able to satisfy the duties and responsibilities conferred upon me by the agreement if I execute it. The comment was made that staff is spending a considerable amount of time working with me on permits. Other than several scheduled meetings that I spent with Jacob Roberts to create a draft of meetings, I've only met with Jacob once for about 20 minutes in February of this year. I haven't met any other meetings with anybody in public works. I have worked with people like Amy Bright to secure business licenses, and I sat down for a brief meeting with Kim Shaw to planning and permitting. I also met with Paul Popelka, who's no longer with the city, and I had a couple of brief conversations with Ken Stiggles to help the city resolve an IT issue that was blocking my email. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for assisting me in getting that resolved. So prior to March 24th of this year, I wasn't even able to email the city. The comment was made that I haven't had any required background checks done to allow me to access the sites. Forgive me for blowing my own horn on this one, but I'm a U.S. citizen. I have a college degree, 30 years of professional experience, no arrests, no convictions. I have a state of Washington concealed pistol license.
Hi, Chief.
An internationally recognized computer security expert who has done consulting and training in the public and private sector, including for the CIA, NASA, and the NSA. I had my SF-86 clearance form stolen from OPM by the Chinese. I've also had background checks on every job I've ever done since 2001. And I've already been on the properties. I've been to the water tanks, for those of you who are interested. That's the view from the top of Trombley. When I asked the Department of Public Works whether I could have a key to allow me unrestricted access to the property, they refused. In fact, they made it a condition of the agreement that I have to work with the Department of Public Works to gain access to the sites. And per our agreement, if I request access outside of normal and business hours, I have to pay them. So, again, I wanted to make those comments in response to that agreement. I understand that the agreement is under review by the council. I appreciate your time, and I certainly look forward to hearing from you. And I will entertain questions if you care to.
Thank you very much, Mr. McPherson.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other comments from citizens? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is Tuana Koloshkova. My address is 11201 South State Street, Bellevue.
I am legal counsel for the Heritage Baptist Church, and I'm appearing now because I'm not sure whether this council is planning on entertaining comments later on during its agenda. I did submit a letter to this council last week with respect to the most recent growth management hearings board order, and as I hope this council is also aware, we have filed an appeal in Snohomish County Superior Court with respect to the growth management hearings for its most recent order, and I hope you all have a copy of that. We have been moving as fast as we possibly can to get that filed so that you would have that information before you as quickly as I could get it to you as far as what our concerns are and the issues that we'd like to bring forward for further review. I'm here tonight in order to request you to leave the status quo in place, which at this time, because of the way the board's order works, hopefully you've already been advised that there's no way for Heritage Baptist to submit any applications or vest any applications, approvals, permits, or anything like that for the site. We feel that it would be both appropriate and the best use of everybody's resources for Heritage Baptist to be allowed to pursue its appeal. It is a legal appeal of right to Superior Court, just as anybody would have from any board's order. And in at the same token, we're requesting from this council the same treatment that was given during the first round of compliance hearings, where this council gave significant due process and consideration to its actions in responding to the board's order. Heritage is asking for essentially the same treatment here, which is to allow it to continue to move forward with its own due process, just as was given for the last roughly year or quite a bit longer at this point. And we feel that's appropriate because of the status quo, because there is no jeopardy that the city is in as far as risking, again, a vesting scenario or something like that. Furthermore, we request this council to consider your zoning code on point, as that zoning code dictates pretty clearly what this council can and cannot do after it makes a rezone decision, and also the manner in which you take action, and taking a resolution without following the same processes that you have done before in terms of zoning is not something that your zoning code readily provides for. And so we request that you carefully consider what your action might be and whether that is really both warranted or necessary at this time, and the importance of due process to be given to everybody involved at this time. Thank you very much, and again, we just ask you to put things to the side for the moment. Let us have some status quo, a little bit of breathing room, and let the court look at matters. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the council this evening? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, sir.
Mike Chamber, 21104 Calhoun Road. I would like to make a point to have copies of it. Sorry. These are copies of the 1973 Attorney General's decision in regards to spot zoning for cities and towns. I don't know if the council is aware of the zoning, aware of this document. I'm not sure if who is or who isn't. I certainly won't presume that anyone is and was not aware of this during the entire process of the zoning. Keep this somewhat brief. There's several different definitions of what a spot zoning is covered in the document on page 5. The concept of spot zoning as an evil in the field of municipal growth is well recognized by nearly all authorities. Spot zoning is an attempt to wrench a single lot from its environment and give it a new rating that disturbs the tenor of the neighborhood and which affects only the use of a particular piece of property or a small group of adjoining properties and is not related to general plan of the community as a whole, but is primarily for the private interest of the owner of the property so zoned, and is the very antithesis of planned zoning. It has generally been held that spot zoning is improper and that one or two building lots may not be marked off in a separate district or zone benefit from peculiar advantages or subjected to peculiar burdens not applicable to adjoining submitted land, 101 CJS zoning, section 34. The pertinent part about all of this is that on page 9, in regards to impervious Puget Sound plan. There are four different things that require, they're required for something to either be or not be a spot zone. One is that a smaller area is singled out of a larger area and given some special treatment. So if you say you have limited open space that is being singled out, or turning into commercial when there are no access, utilities, etc., that might be considered in such a case. Two, the classification of use allowed in the smaller area is totally different from and inconsistent with the classification of surrounding land so as to disturb the tenor of the neighborhood and create an inconsistency or conflict of use with the uses allowed in the surrounding area. Three, the action necessary to create the smaller area is taken for the private gain of one person or group of persons rather than for the general welfare of the community as a whole. And four, the action taken is not in accordance with the comprehensive plan. Now, the key here is that by having the master plan changed, there is a very thin veneer of legality that would make this look to not be a spot zone. The AG followed on by saying, though, we are not, however, in total agreement with the introductory statement preceding this listing to the effect that all four of these characteristics must be present in a given case in order for a particular spot zone to be found illegal. This seems to us most unlikely, for instance, that a court which finds a clear-cut case of special interest legislation, factor three, coupled with factors one and two, will at that point worry very much about whether, in spite of the aspect of the matter, the rezone was or was not in overall conformity with the applicable comprehensive plan. All that conformity with the plan would prove in such case, as seems to us, is that perhaps something was wrong with the plan itself. So I would just like to bring this attention to the council and for your further considerations and matters that will be before you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Missing a snap guy?
My name is Erin Angus Snapka, and I live at 421 South Lewis Street in Monroe. As some of you may know, I'm a board member of the Downtown Monroe Association. I kind of pass these items around. I should have brought more. We're having a hoedown, a fundraising event here in Monroe on the on April 23rd from 6 to 11. Tickets are only $20, and it would be wonderful if, see who made eye contact with me, if some of you folks would come out to support us that night. There will be the Joe Slick Band and country line dancing. My understanding is that this particular band is very popular locally and performs at some of the larger casinos and such. There will be alcohol and non-alcohol beverages, but we're not going to sort of nickel and dime you for every little thing, so I mean it really will be like a $50 or $60 evening unless you decide to have just lots of drinks, which would be alright too, out of some reason. So you can go to our website, the Downtown Monroe Association. There's a link, and you can pay that way. I have some tickets right here in hot little hand if anyone would like to.
Sorry about mine.
Yes. I guess that's that. On another matter, I did look through the agenda for tonight, and I read through a document concerning a certain $50,000 stormwater grant that the city is hoping to apply for and is now ineligible due to the non-compliance with the Growth Management Hearing Board. So just to maybe contradict the attorney a little bit, like there is something, there is a loss of the city that is incurring due to that. Loss of that grant money, which the last time I checked, 11.2% of Monroe population was living at or below the poverty line. So, you know, in this community, that's a lot of money. But that is my position, and the Downtown Monroe Association has absolutely nothing to say about that. Don't get involved.
Does anyone have any questions about the event?
Looks like we do. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for your work on the downtown association.
Welcome.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Is this $50,000 grant lost or postponed?
I had a conversation with Brad earlier today, and it's apparently if the city reverses its position, then we have to contact the growth management hearing board, and there is some sort of administrative delay between reversing the position and them deciding whether or not. I'm sure that Brad Hilbert can probably articulate that a lot better. But he did say that even if the city reversed, then you kind of lose your spot on the list and you go to the bottom and you have to reapply and hope that there's money left over. So he can definitely.
Thank you. Aaron, thank you very much. As Councilmember Hanford pointed out, and I'm sure all the other council members agree also, we appreciate the work that you and the Downtown Association are doing for the downtown. So thank you. I trust that you saw also on the agenda this evening under final action is discussion about installing lighting, decorative lighting in downtown. So if you're able to stick around for that, there'll be more information on that later in the agenda.
Well, I'm sure it will really, obviously the Downtown Monroe Association is much in favor of that. A number of the merchants downtown have spoken to us about the general sort of darkness of the area and sort of spooky at night. This would definitely liven things up a bit and seem a lot more vibrant and family friendly. The lights are just very modern and cool. That's a technical term.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? All right. Ms. Sellers? Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
I just said my name. Ashley Sellers, 20930 East Rosemont Drive. I am not going to stand here before you tonight and talk about landslides and compaction and blah, 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 because we've all had a conversation a thousand times. What I do want to kind of address a little bit is that even if this council makes a decision, as I would greatly ask you to do, because I think that the citizens of Monroe deserve some type of closure, and Heritage can seek to go forward even if you make your decision, and if that decision is to disavow, it does not stop them from having legal rights. I would like to point out tonight, as many times in the past, that the person, Heritage Minnick, is not here tonight. Yet the people, the citizens of your town, continue to be here. And one thing that I do find greatly cumbersome in a weight that I think should not be borne is to continue saying that the people opposed to this are opposed to it because of their view. I think that the people have been supported now by the Growth Management Hearing Board twice. They clearly said we are not experts. They didn't entertain that idea, but they did find that things that were presented were true. Now, I'm not an expert in this by any means. Some of these people have been working on this for 12 years. But in that 12 years, they may not have an engineering degree, but they have a degree in getting their boots dirty and tearing up the ground and trying to figure it out. And sometimes that knowledge matters. You guys didn't know how to be council members when you walked up here, I'm sure, unless you were born Monroe City Council members. But you had to get your feet dirty, and you had to learn. And that's what the people here, Misty has done a great job, Randy, the people who have opposed this have done. They've come before you, and they've spent hours looking into this. And so I just ask that you, after two growth management hearing boards saying, this isn't good enough, after the planning commission saying, this isn't good enough, this isn't even what's in the best interest of our city at this time, I would ask that you really take that into account and that you disavow this, you close this application, and you give some closure to this city. This city is in a state of growth in a time where its resources could be spent so much better. One thing that the legal counsel for Heritage said was that Heritage has borne the expense of this process. And I'd like to argue that that is not true. I don't think the city has still put an accurate number on how much this has cost the city. And so I really just ask, let's put this to rest. Let's move forward. many of you up here said, I want to see it through. Let's send it back to Growth Management Hearing Board. Let's see what happens in doing that. We've done that. It came back. It wasn't that an I wasn't dotted or T wasn't crossed. There wasn't one little thing that they sent this back for. It was several things. There were several things that were called out. And I don't need to list them because I'm hoping and trusting that you guys have read this. And there was a lot that they called out. So I'm just really asking with a vulnerable and hopeful heart tonight that you guys will move forward, that you'll disavow this. And can't thank you for, you're actually the only person I've never spoken to one-on-one, but thank you for doing what you said before last week. Is that before this you said, you know what, we started this process, let's see it through. I want to send it back one more time to see what happens. And we thank you for last week voting to disavow and to really standing by those words. And so that's kind of where we are. And we know this isn't an easy topic or one that has no losers. But I think that the city has done its due diligence in giving this property owner the right. And let's also not forget that this property owner bought this property as limited open space. It's not that the city is taking anything away. And so, yes, if the residents on the bluff are worried about their view, this property owner is worried about the money he's hoping to make. But that was a gamble he took. No pun intended. That was a gamble he really took when he bought that property. Thank y'all so much. I really do respect what you do up here. I just wanted to kind of give the word. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Lucy Blair, 15403 Cavalry Road, Monroe.
Misty, put the microphone up close. There you go. I'm always concerned about the people behind you being able to hear you because we can hear you fine.
Okay. Not if I'm going to say anything that's important if they don't want to hear me. So like Ashley said, I'm sure you guys, the decision has been out for 12 days now, so I'm sure you guys have all had a chance to read it. I just would like to say that this isn't about who the property owner is or what they want to do with the property. And I think that I personally do not live on the ridge. My property is not adjacent to it. I have no view involved in this. I honestly just believe that from a planning perspective, that this isn't the city's vision. It's somebody else's vision. And that if we could all just take a step back and figure out if this is really what the citizens in Monroe are looking for, and is it really consistent with even the revised comprehensive plan amendment policy language for the Redmont Ridge. That being said, I think the Heritage is, I don't think the Heritage did do this, they did submit a motion for stay to the board, and we supplied a response to that yesterday, and I got their appeal to the Superior Court today. And I just would like to point out that in that request, and this is their own prerogative to choose how they would like the Superior Court to resolve this issue, but the petitioner requests that the court vacate the board's final order of decision, determine the city's actions in adopting and then the two ordinances valid and rezone and the rezone therein proper. So I just like to point out that the issue that Heritage is bringing forward now, saying that your actions may moot their legal case, they're setting it up for it to do that. It doesn't have to be that way. And court cases like this take much longer time than the Growth Management Hearing Board did. So this could be languishing for a year or two, a year just to get a court date and to move forward with that. So I don't think that the city wants to put themselves in the second seat on decision making for planning for our city.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
Could you just repeat that one part that you said just a few minutes ago? Would that be okay?
I
want to make sure I understood what you said about the way that Heritage is stating things with their court.
The way that the way that I read this, and, you know, not the attorney in the room, so obviously you guys have your own legal counsel, but the way that I read it, it's tied directly to the ordinances 015-2015 and 016-2015. So, when in fact the board's order is about the adequacy of the EIS, that can be, those are the things that they'll be looking at. The facts of the determination of the order have to do with the adequacy of the EIS. An EIS, once validated, once good and adequate, is good for that forever, unless some circumstance changes. So you could, they could go and get the EIS overturned and deemed adequate, and then they could bring that back to the city, and it still belongs to the city to decide whether they want to move forward with these ordinances. The way this is written is that this is going to be happening. My understanding is that the city is not pursuing their own appeal. I haven't heard that discussed. So if you're not involved with the appeal, this will be happening totally outside of our, of this group and the public process, until some point in time where they get a Superior Court decision, and in which case it just is, and it's totally outside, out of your control. And that just doesn't seem like good planning. And I, you know, what Ashley said too about, we had these discussions a lot, and I know that there are council members that didn't appreciate our appealing this to begin with, but I believe that the board's second decision validates a lot of the points that we were bringing up, and I hope that, I have a lot of respect for the board members and the amount of time that they take, and if you look at their, at all of their job descriptions, they all have, are very qualified professionals, and having now seen that decision, and I just would like everyone to think about what they said prior to the last adoption, where we said we just want to see this through to the Growth Management Hearings Board again. And remember that if a Superior Court appeal doesn't go Heritage's way, they can also appeal to the state. And so this could just continue forever until the answer is the answer that they want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Doug Hamel. I live at 21122 Calvin Road. And I'm interested about these as well. The attorney for Heritage was making the case that they should be allowed the same process they were allowed after the original EIS that pace reduced was invalidated. That was a long and process, but it was the process that they were allowed for exactly the same thing, and it went forward, and again, it was invalidated. Now, when this whole process started back in 2010, the reason for proceeding with it continuously was they deserve the opportunity to present their case because it had been denied for so long. Well, they have presented it over and over and over again, and it has failed every time. So how long did they deserve to be making that case? I think at some point they've made their case, and we should be done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Please come forward and state your name and address. Thank you.
My name is Pauline Moggleton, and I live at 109 Rivermont Drive East in Monroe. We've lived here for 44 years, raised our family here. And I'm probably echoing everyone else, but we have got our children raised, gone and we come back. What? Changed again? And I find myself, you know, I feel for all of you. I have a lot of compassion for this decision. And I'm just going to share two little quotes that just keep running in my head from a book I had just read. It was one from Mark Twain, and he said, "Rumor can run all the way around the world while truth is still putting on its pants." And that has happened with all of this case. And another one is from Daniel Moynihan, and he said, "Everyone's entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts." And I know you're sitting here trying to balance all of this. So I am going to be an echo briefly. I feel sympathetic with the participants. Heritage as well. It's an emotionally charged zoning request. I know how I would feel in their position. I feel for all of the citizens who are just concerned about the whole vision of Monroe. I feel concerned for everyone who has spent resources on this that are important and could be used in other ways. I see the passions and the positions that have been intense as all the citizens share their opinions and their own perspectives, and all of them have some validity. And it has united a lot of citizens that might not have known each other, and it's divided a lot of them. And I see the work and energy that is being expended on all the sides, and it does look like it could be endless. And all we have to do is learn from our political races going on now and watching our Congress to think, wait a minute, okay, what would we suggest to them? And I guess I just am hoping that we could come to a resolution tonight, you know, based on the highest principles that we have for our vision of Monroe. So in light of all these the growth management has concerns over the safety. We have seen a lot of other areas around us that have serious concerns. I am not change opposed. I love change. Monroe has changed dramatically in 44 years, but I am prevention oriented. So I just would ask, I see Monroe as a city of progress and a city of reason, and my question is this the right time? Is there a real need for our community? I just makes my heart hurt sometimes to see all of the vacant places and how it could be more thriving. And it just seems like our energies are going, you know, it's time to stop and move forward. And I just respectfully offer my hope that this will be resolved, not just for a few, but for all of the community that has interest in this. I hope we can stop with all of this money that is going directions all the ways. I mean, I don't know what the future holds. I have seen areas that everyone was opposed to, but there was a need. I can't really see any need here except for a very few, and I just respectfully give you my encouragement in trying to figure out and discern all of these various issues and truths. I think it's been done, and I hope we can just bring this to a close. And I say this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Mr. Demarest.
Thank you, Mayor Thomas. Dave Demarest, 19311 130th Place Southwest. Changing tacks a little bit. I drive through the traffic circle behind Lowe's on Chain Lake Road at least a few times a day, every day. And really, this spring, appreciated how nice it looks. And I just thought of worth mentioning or thanking the council and this past and past councils for their continued support of our public spaces, the traffic circles, Main Street, Lewis Street, and a special comment on the staff that keeps it that way. It's just great. Thank you for it.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Is there anybody else who would like to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none. The next item on our agenda, and thank you to everybody who came forward to comment. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is an executive session. And we have the need for two executive sessions. One of them is related to pricing of property. This is RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection C. The other one is agency litigation, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I. The total time for those two is 20 minutes, and there will be action to follow. Do you have anything else to add? Okay. Anything else for our attorney? Okay. So what we're going to do is, since we have so many people here this evening, we'll just go ahead and go to another location, and we'll be back. Thank you all. There's a fax machine. So thank you all. We're back out of executive session, and we are now moving on to the consent agenda. Council? Flip the flame. Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Gamble to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda is final action. This is final action number 1, AB 16046, resolution number 004-2016, Growth Management Hearings Board, GMHB, Compliance Reese Monroe. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to defer consideration of resolution number 004/2016 to a later date.
Okay. I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, and I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to delay the motion to a future date for the resolution. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. We talked about this briefly, and I had asked city staff to get with attorney to come up with language that would that we could give to the public, so that would explain why Councilmember Scarborough can or can't vote on this issue. And so I've just asked that, and because remember that was the reason I voted against it last week, was because I had asked for that and it hadn't been provided yet. So I'm just asked if that could be shared now.
Thank you. Can you go ahead?
Yes. In the opinion of our office, Mr. Scarborough is not required to recuse himself from the council's vote regarding resolution number 004-2016 by virtue of statements he has made in opposition to the East Monroe redesignation or the fact that he resides on the bluff adjacent to and overlooking the East Monroe area. In our view, Mr. Scarborough's participation in this vote is not prohibited by the appearance of fairness doctrine and does not present a conflict of interest under Washington law. The application of the appearance of fairness doctrine is expressly limited to quasi-judicial proceedings. The underlying East Monroe amendments to the city's comprehensive plan and official zoning map are area-wide legislative matters, and the council's action on the proposed resolution is likewise legislative in nature. Because the city council's action tonight is not quasi-judicial, it is not subject to the appearance of fairness doctrine. The location of Mr. Scarborough's residence in proximity to the East Monroe area likewise does not implicate a concern under the Washington statute governing ethics in local government. The statute's prohibition on conflicts of interest refers overwhelmingly to situations involving self-dealing by local officials, i.e., where a council member has a personal financial interest in a contract that is being approved and executed by the municipality. No such contract is implicated by the proposed East Monroe compliance resolution. The other areas of concern identified under Washington's ethics law include situations where, one, a local official inappropriately uses his or her official position to secure a special privilege or special exemption for himself or herself or others, favor parties, or in a manner that is unavailable to others. Two, the official improperly discloses confidential information he or she learned through his or her office. Three, the official inappropriately accepts compensation from another source. And four, the official engages in employment or professional activities that are incompatible with his or her public office. None of these concerns are presented by Mr. Scarborough's situation. In sum, Mr. Scarborough's participation in this legislative policy matter is not prohibited under state law, and his recusal from the vote is not required. His situation does not implicate the type of official self-dealing, unlawful disclosure, inappropriate privilege, incompatible employment, or otherwise adjudication of his own cause in any manner that would implicate concerns under the applicable ethics laws. With the mayor's permission, we have vetted this conclusion with a senior legal analyst at Municipal Research and Service Center.
Thanks.
Thank you. And just that confirms what my thoughts on the matter. And just as I stated last week, I'll state it again, has nothing to do with Councilmember Scarborough's integrity whatsoever. I just wanted the legal description for the public's sake, so that we can be above reproach. So, thank you.
Thank you. So we have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is final action number 2. This is AB 16047, approval of installation of downtown Monroe area decorative lighting. Is this Mr. Thalberg?
Downtown Monroe Association has suggested that decorative lighting along the street frontages on Main Street would be of a benefit to the downtown area and sort of lighten things up there and make a nicer look down there. We checked into this and looked at the string lights, such as the ones that are in the Taco Cart across from 7-Eleven and now at Route 2 Tap Room, so things similar to that. Basically, they're small light bulbs, LEDs, warm white light, kind of the orangey light or yellow, and they're 2 feet on centers. And you can see in your packet, there's a little diagram that they'd be kind of zigzag over the sidewalk between the luminaire poles and taller poles that would be inserted into a bowler in between the two light poles. Staff would be installing that work, that things, the materials and labor would come to about $26,000, but since we haven't done something like this before to cover any unexpected expenses, we're asking for $30,000 that would come from the contingency fund. The finance director has said there's about $290,000 in the contingency fund, that there's only $4,500 that's kind of spoken for right now, so there's money available there. And say we would, if the council approves this, the staffing currently we have in the Public Works Department, along with the projects we already have lined out for this year, would make it be able to install this by spring of 2017. If the council would like to have that installed sooner, we'd either have to increase the cost to hire a contractor to do it or delay one of the projects that we're have on the schedule, which would be either the Fairfield Park entrance relocation, the Lord's Lake drainage maintenance, or the completion of the ditch buffer maintenance between Brylands Residential and Brylands Commercial. And that's my presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Brad. Mr. Feilberg. Councilmember Campbell.
So, if I'm reading it correct, the suggestion is that this would be 2017. So I'm assuming this would come out of the 2017 budget if we did it in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, you can either order the materials now.
Correct.
If
sure.
Some free time comes up when you start the installation, or we just put it off and wait until the 2017 budget.
So you could potentially split the expenditures between the 2016 budget and the 2017 budget.
Correct.
You know, I guess from my perspective, I'd like to take, I think it's a worthwhile effort to take a look at, but I would want to see it, you know, maybe brought into the budgeting discussion with 2017 as we're looking at a lot of, I know we're looking at other projects, and actually the thought of even what it would look like if we split it between material purchase in 2016 and then installation in 2017 would be my thoughts. If we're already planning on doing right now the plan of record is 2017 for installation, and I get that because we have all the projects already on the books.
Okay.
That's my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Kemp?
Thank you. That was going to be my recommendation, to go to the Finance Committee and have it vetted. I hadn't thought about the splitting the cost between 2016 and 17. Is there a time crunch in terms of purchasing materials or anything like that? So you purchase the light.
It could go up a little bit, you know, right. It could be delayed, but probably not significantly or anything.
So it won't be a significant impact. I think that would be the best way to handle it. Let's go with it.
Okay. So
I'm finished.
Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. I agree with what you both said. My one question was, how important is the ditch buffer maintenance between Brown's Residential and Industrial Park? If that's something that we could possibly put off, yeah, so that we can get the lights now, then maybe that'd be worth entertaining. If it's desperately needed and we shouldn't put that off, then so be it. I'm just thinking, from a public standpoint, the ditch buffer between Frown's Residential and the Industrial Park, pretty low visibility compared to downtown. So just a thought.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
So, you know, maybe the way to do it would be to refer it to the Finance Committee. We have a meeting on May 3rd, and we could look at, you know, what the different options, you know, that gives staff maybe enough time to kind of look, you know, if we split the cost between 16 and 17. Brad specifically, you know, hey, if we had to hold back on these projects, you can have more definitive answers on, you know, what that means, or if we've got some legal requirements, whatever the case may be. Would that be sufficient?
Yeah, if I could ask a clarifying, I know the answer, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. So you've got two issues here. One is the workload, which is the projects and the money for those projects, the Fairfield, Lord's Lake, and the Frylands, that money would come from a different source other than contingency.
Yeah, it's not competing for money. It's only competing for time, for labor.
Right, okay. And so, for example, when Councilmember Hanford was asking the question about comparing the two, it's only comparing the two in terms of labor. Like, you would do Frylands and then the other issue. So they're not competing for money, they're competing for labor.
Right.
And then the, okay, good. I just want to make certain that we were on the same page. So then the splitting, that's if we have to wait till 2017. Okay, perfect. Councilmember Gamble, you still have the floor.
But I guess what I would say is that when we're talking about it, the splitting between 16 and 17, that we would also at the same time consider the labor, you know, component. The question is hey, is level of importance, is there any sort of legal obligations, whatever the case may be?
Okay.
Or is it just strictly that that's number three on the list for 2016? And
okay,
that's all.
All right, thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I guess I'm a little bit confused. Would the labor facet be considered in finance, or wouldn't that be in the public work or the public?
It's council's prerogative which committee to assign to. You could consider it a finance issue, or you could consider it a planning and public works issue. Gene?
It's the nearest meeting. I just threw it on there.
So it could be considered by the finance for the both?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. As long as it's considered. If we could get it earlier, I'd be in favor of it, and I haven't heard any negative comments about it, so that might be an advantage, especially for downtown. Thank you.
So I'm to understand then that we'll put it on the committee. All right, thank you. All right, let me do some clicking around here. All right, the next item is final action number three. This is AB 16048, rescission of AB 16028, accepting grant funds and authorizing signature of associated documents. And is this Mr. Feilberg or Mr. Brazel? Mr. Feilberg.
When did we do this? A while ago. On March 8th, the council authorized the signature of a grant application, or grant acceptance for a stormwater grant. It was on the agenda as tentative, waiting the outcome of the growth management hearings board stuff. And since the town is not in compliance still, it should have been pulled off the agenda, but it did not get pulled off, so we approved that, and this is a grant that you sign the document that says I hereby certify that we are in compliance with the Growth Management Act. So we weren't able to do that, and just to get it off from hanging out there, we'd like to have that rescinded so that if we become in compliance sometime in the future, we can bring it back to the council for another authorization if there's still money available in that fund.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, thank you. Since we're out of compliance with the Growth Management Hearing Board, I move to rescind the approval of AB 16-028, accepting grant funds and authorizing signature of associated documents and expressly authorizing further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Gamble to rescind the approval of AB 16028, accepting grant funds and authorizing signature of associated documents and expressly authorizing further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate. Discussion. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Mr. Feilberg. Right. Is there a time crunch or something involved with this?
Yes. We were supposed to send it back to them the 1st of March.
Okay.
And basically, it's a first-come, first-served grant. So they put money aside out of a oil tax for stormwater.
Okay.
And the money they collect, they give it away as people apply. And if everyone's applying and run out of money, then it's too late. With gas, the price of oil going down, there's less money in the fund, so it's probably likely that we will not get any money from that fund this year. So if oil prices go back up suddenly, there may be more money available that we can get some of that, but probably less for this year.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I just second the motion because I do think it's the appropriate action to take based on the feedback from Brad, but I think it just illustrates that we do need to resolve that issue of being in compliance in the very near future. So that's all.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Okay, we had, in addition to the final action agenda, I didn't get the number, but this is final action number 4, AB 16 something from Mr. Farrell. The documents, just a second, who has the documents?
Just the one I read earlier. I don't have it.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Farrell.
In January, the Department of Corrections set out to all of their contracts for the offender work-through projects, a new master agreement, and so we received that in January. Our city attorney reviewed the new master agreement and recommended strengthening the indemnification provisions in that master agreement that would benefit the city. So we set that back, and since February, it's been in Olympia being reviewed by DOC attorneys. We have the first scheduled offender work group project for later this week, and suddenly this week, as in this afternoon, we received the master agreement that did include the restructuring of the agreement with those strengthening the indemnification provision that benefits the city. So that is why it's before you tonight and added to this agenda because of that time constraint.
Okay, thank you.
Good deal.
Councilmember Gamble. Sorry, he's blinking his light on and off. Councilmember Campbell.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the master agreement with the Department of Corrections for offender work group projects and expressly authorize any further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gamble to approve the motion that is in this agenda bill 16049. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to add another item to the agenda.
Okay, go ahead.
I move to add item to the agenda, letter of intent offered to purchase Parcel 7, North Kelsey Village, Monroe.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Hanford to add another agenda item to the agenda, and that is to authorize a letter of intent related to Parcel 7 at North Kelsey. Any discussion on the motion to add this to the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gamble.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the letter of intent and offer to purchase Parcel 7, North Kelsey Village, Monroe, with Barber Development Company, LLC, and expressly authorize any further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Davis to authorize the mayor to sign the letter of intent. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. And we are now moving into council member reports. Let's start off with committee reports. The Legislative Affairs Committee.
We met tonight. Very good discussion on council procedures. First, we had a presentation by the our lobbyist. Can't remember his name. Paul.
Brian Wall.
Brian Wall, that's it. I want to call him Paul. Very good discussion about the efforts they've been making over the past, these many months, especially on 522. And I hope they're going to be coming back to council. I hope to bring them back to the Legislative Committee so we can discuss more about the some of the additional items and some of the reporting specs that we've been getting from them. We did have our discussion about council procedures, in particular the voting methods, yes, no, and present. I want to thank Ms. Smoot for her investigation into what Robert's Rules of Order handles and how our procedure varies. I don't know when we're going to, we should be getting something presented to council in a few weeks. Was that our discussion? To include the changes we're proposing for the procedures, and they'll all be included there. And thank the Mr. Scarborough and Mr. Hanford for having a very lively discussion tonight. It was a lot of fun. And thank you, Mayor, for attending.
Yep.
That's about it.
All right. Thank you. Community Transit Board of Directors meeting, Councilmember Cutaback is out ill today, and also recall she was at the groundbreaking for the skate park last week, so she was not able to attend. Stohomish Health District Board of Directors, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Everyone up here read the packet, page to page, with me. It was awesome. Fantastic night, board meeting. I actually got to honor and recognize three recipients to an annual award, two of which being from Monroe. First of all, Jerry Dixon of Big Dogs Mobile. I had the privilege of awarding and recognizing him, and as temporary food service award for his recognition of just doing business, food business the right way. Always telling the health district where he's going to be, and when they come out, no issues ever. So it was a great honor to be able to present to him. Also got to present to Joel Nigel and some of the students from Monroe Youth Coalition for the work that they've been doing on youth mental health. It was him and I believe four or five of his youth that he's worked with on their little PSA announcement, and then also mentioned the Paper Tigers and additional work that he's done out there as well. And then also got to award and present to Tammy Nesting, principal of Sultan High School, for their work in making Sultan, specifically the areas around Sultan High School, a healthier place with increased nutrition and physical activity. So I can send council the notes that staff prepared for me in the presentations, but was greatly honored to be able to present to them, and actually I was accompanied by our County Council Representative Hans Dunshi on those as well. So it was great to be a part of that. Business-wise, we were proposed a public health policy, and the board, yes, when you sent it back to staff, asking to elevate mental health. And I think we've all had enough presentations from various groups here that we all understand that the importance of mental health in our communities. And so I was very happy to support that, and look forward to seeing the health policy come back to emphasize that. The board also entered into agreement with United General Hospital District for, let me make sure I get this right, marijuana prevention and youth marijuana prevention and education grant. They'll run through 2017, and so it's a part of a larger grant that's helping not only Snohomish County but other areas such as Island and Whatcom and San Juan and Skagit. So the ongoing discussion of WIC and First Step transitions, we've actually pushed that out. By the time we got to it in our agenda, we had literally 10 minutes left, and knew that we couldn't complete the discussions within that time frame. So we have pushed that discussion out. So again, I do encourage council that, you know, with that transition possibly taking place, if you do have feedback on it or questions, please let me know. I have received some feedback from Snohomish and Sultan, as well as some of our community partners here in Monroe. They addressed answered their concerns as best I could. But it is something that could possibly impact us. We're scrambling to get all the information as quick as we can on this, but you know, we certainly don't want that service to go away. So the questions you have, please let me know. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councilmember Rasmussen. Okay, let's go around the horn with individual reports. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing to report.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, enjoyed the groundbreaking, ribbon cutting, whatever you want, standing next to the fence for the skateboard park. It was great. We had great representation, council, staff. I mean, it's very exciting. Those events are exciting from the standpoint also that, you know, as we were standing there in front of the skateboard park, you saw the improvements that were being done with the playground as far as taking care of the drain, some of the drainage stuff, the new chips coming in. There's just a lot of stuff going on in the park system and the work that's being done there. That's just a great project. It was great to be there and see everybody that's been involved since the beginning, including ours, our skateboard expert. There he flew in just for the occasion, so that was fantastic. And also to hear, as we look at our long-term strategy, as we were standing there and you're envisioning that skateboard park and all the different enhancements we're looking and going after funding, grant funding, and years to come, as well for turf fields that are there this weekend. A couple of our local baseball teams that are, Legends organization, as you guys know, is here in the Sky Valley, and we go to a lot of neighboring tournaments, and we host tournaments here. And we were in Woodinville for the Pat Downs Memorial Tournament, and to have fields that are turf that are not dependent upon it can rain and you can still have the games is a big deal for the tournaments, but it's also a big deal for us for the city, because we're not losing that revenue that's associated with hundreds of people coming in and out of town spending the entire weekend for tournaments. So it was great to be a part of that and to see that, and then see as you go to these other areas of what we're moving toward, what we're moving towards, and what the long-term vision of the Parks Department is. And just as a side note, the 10U's won first place. They were champs for that. So, in case you were wondering, Kevin, I know you were dying. And then our 9U boys took second place. So it was a good weekend for Monroe. Just was in Woodinville.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Davis.
Nothing here.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I just want to echo the comments from Councilmember Gamble about the skateboard park. I think it'll be a good addition. And Mr. Gamble did inform me that the shovel was made of gold, but they wouldn't let me take it. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Absolutely. Skate park groundbreaking was outstanding. I've said it before, but very much have been looking forward to that day when we've been able to put the shovels in the ground and see that start taking shape. And it's just been a blast to watch Aris and Todd, bring that concept to the city and work with our amazing staff on this, and then through council and just through the whole process. And like I said, the groundbreaking, just sticking with it and their visions when this first rolled out were amazing. To some accounts they were pretty out there, but to see the final draft and what it's going to look like is just as incredible. So I'm very, very excited and very happy that we got to celebrate that today. And I know the mayor will talk about it more, but I was in presence of attended the chamber meeting where our mayor gave the State of the City address, and we get to live it, breathe it all the time up here, but sitting in the audience, it was refreshing to just get that feeling of where we're at as a city and a community and where we're headed is we're doing things well, and we're doing things right, and we're on a good path. I do want to thank the mayor for his appreciation to all the hard work of the staff. Certainly, myself and I would speak for the rest of the council on this. That can't go unrecognized at all. But then also, his public appreciation for council as well. It was awesome to hear that, and so thank you for that. So. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Councilmember Hanford.
I was so bummed to not be able to make it to the skate park groundbreaking, but I am so excited for it and drive by it every day and fun to see the progress, and I'm so excited to have it happen. Thank you, staff, for all your work.
Thank you, Councilmember. Let's go out to staff. Mr. Worthen. Okay. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of updates. We've researched and we have ordered all return stations for the ball fields. So we have that. And then secondly, our staff has been... Our staff has been working on, yes, improving the drainage, making a repair to the drainage of the playground at Lake Tye. They've completed that, and chips are on order. They'll come in next week, so we'll be able to finish that one up. The last thing is also staff have been working on the brochure, the parks brochure that goes out. We're going to print 11,000 of them. 9,000 of them go out, mailed out around the area homes. And it's just about ready to go to the printer, so we can work on the draft. And by the end of the month, we should get them, and then they'll be mailed out. That's it.
Sounds good. Any questions for Mr. Worthen or Mr. Farrell?
Yeah.
Councilmember Gamble.
And those ball return stations are both softball and baseball, right?
Yes, they are.
Very good.
Nice. Okay, any other questions? All right. You're going to become Councilmember Osaki. Sorry, Mr. Osaki.
I have the motion.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I have nothing for you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Osaki? None. Okay. Mr. Feilberg.
Your attention is directed towards the Public Works report that's in the council packets. Just to highlight one thing is the city asked the community for input on safe route to school and pedestrian and bicycle projects for possible grant applications. We received 13 suggestions for 10 different projects. Four of those suggested projects are underway. And then the other suggestions do not lend themselves to competitive grant applications. But we will be applying for three projects for those grant programs. One is to complete the sidewalks from Frank Wagner Elementary School down West Columbia up 182nd and over 154th to 179th. Another one is to complete the little bit of sidewalk that from the Rhodes Lane subdivision, which installed sidewalks on the north end of Dennis Way, to complete the little stretch of Dennis Way that doesn't have sidewalk on it to get people to Park Place Middle School. And the third one is to, as has been previously requested by homeowners associations in the area, is the missing segment of sidewalk along Curry Road in front of the Washington State Department of Transportation stormwater detention line. Used to be the Beauty Park Place. So that's all I got.
Thank you. Any questions from Mr. Feilberg? Okay. Chief Windsor.
Nothing this evening.
Okay. Any questions for Chief? Councilmember Camp.
I just want to congratulate the chief and the police department about the house up on Corbridge. I've been hearing about that as part of the police academy a few years, and congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp. Anything else for Chief Quinzer? Okay, let's come on up here. Gene.
The only thing I have this evening is I have to work with Jane Lanford a lot. We've received a lot of questions about North Kelsey, different pieces of property from various different people, so we've got lots of activity. And then I actually stumbled upon another possible connection today, just overhearing a conversation. So I passed it on to Jane, and Sherry put some phone calls in. So hopefully we'll keep business and property up there and get more proposals in. So more to come on that.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Brazel? All right. Just a summary of some of the things that I did. I'll refer you to Monroe this week. A couple items that are not in there. One, I did meet with the Monroe Community Coalition last week. A little bit of a preview of some of the questions or items that they would like to present to the council. I'm going to be working with staff to have essentially an agenda bill put together that frames some of the items that they're interested in council looking at. So I will have more information on that to come. As Council Member Rasmussen noted, today was the chamber luncheon where I provided a city update. It was great seeing all the folks there, and again, I thank staff for all the hard work they're doing and also for putting together that PowerPoint presentation. It was 40 slides. I made it through in about 20 minutes, I didn't read everything on all the slides, but there are a lot of great pictures up there, a lot of great facts and figures, and we will be putting that up on our website so that folks can go and take a look at it. Also, this afternoon at 3:30, I went to an Economic Development District meeting for the Puget Sound Regional Council. As I mentioned before, there's an economic strategy that the PSRC's Economic Development District is undertaking right now. One of the concerns that I raised in the EDD meeting that I attended in Seattle about a month ago was, you know, to make certain that our voices are heard here. And the Economic Alliance of Snohomish County went ahead and scheduled a meeting with Mayor Stephenson from Everett, Mayor Tolbert from Arlington, Councilmember Todd, Mike Todd from Mill Creek, myself, somebody from the Port of Everett, and a couple other people from Economic Alliance, Patrick Pierce and Glenn Coyle. And so we all got in a room and started talking about, a new executive director from the executive's office at Snohomish County was there, so Snohomish County was represented also. But we started talking about some of the things that need to be included in the four-county economic development strategy to make certain that Snohomish County is part of that. One of the things that I noticed as I was looking through some of the old material was that Arlington and Marysville had pulled together a policy statement that it's important to support manufacturing and industrial centers, specifically that one that is located in Marysville and Arlington. And, you know, this was something that was done a number of years ago, and it emphasizes the importance that we are at these regional meetings, that our voices are heard, because when we're not at the table, we're not being represented. So one of the things that I'll be doing is getting a copy of that material, sending it to council later this week, and I may want to see if you've got any items that you'd like added to this draft list so that when we're meeting with the PSRC, we can make certain that things that are specific to Monroe and the Sky Valley are on there also. One other item that was missing. It says something on there about important infrastructure improvements for transportation. It says I-5, SR-9, US-2. It is completely silent on 522. So, you know, again, we are doing a lot, and I mentioned this in the chamber meeting today, we're doing a lot where we are attending regional meetings. It's important that we do that. And, you know, thank you all for your involvement, going to Snohomish County Cities, going to Olympia and everything. It will make a difference, and I'll be bringing that material forward later. So, any questions?
How many do we have going to the next week?
Snohomish County Cities? Next week?
Now, how many do we have?
Do we have anybody that's RSVP'd for Snohomish County Cities next week?
Besides me.
So Councilmember Gamble?
Councilmember Rasmussen signed him up, and I can sign anyone else up who wants to go because the deadline is tomorrow. I just need to know who wants to go and what you want to eat.
So I would encourage you. Okay. Yeah, I would encourage you if you're able to make it. It's Thursday next week, right?
Yes.
And the program is Snohomish Health District.
Everett and so, yeah. And I think they added.
Wow. That's the piece that
Sound Transit.
It's the Sound Transit. Yes, it's the Sound Transit piece.
Yeah, Sound Transit 3, and I did lend support for that. We're not in the district, so we wouldn't be paying the increase in taxes, but it is important that if they are since they are doing these improvements, that they be extended all the way to Everett. So I did sign on to that. But anyway, I think I've got a conflict that evening, but I'll double check my calendar. All right. So Councilmember Camp.
Okay. Do you have me? Okay, I'm covered.
All right, so we've got two going?
Three
going. Who's the third?
Rasmussen, myself.
Rasmussen. Great.
Maybe four.
Where's it at again?
We're on the verge of a quorum. So Councilmember Scarborough will get back to you tomorrow? Okay.
And that's why I was asking.
I think it's the holiday.
Okay. Yes, thank you. The RSVPs are due tomorrow, and as it may be a popular thing, it would be great to get them in on time. So let me know.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Let me just double check the agenda. Oh, draft agenda. Thank you.
Perfect. Draft agenda for April 19th, 2016.
As we put this together, many items ended up being pushed out. They weren't ready, that type of thing. So we really don't have any business for next week. So it's before council this meeting this evening for consideration to go ahead and cancel that, or we can come in and approve bills and leave shortly after that. There isn't anything pending. So it's council's pleasure.
Councilmember Gamble?
I move to cancel the April 19th meeting.
Second.
Yeah, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to cancel the April 19th meeting. Is there any discussion or questions? Councilmember Scarborough, did you have a question?
Could we discuss budget at that time? I mean, that's a big subject that takes a lot of time.
Mr. Brasman?
I don't think we'd be prepared to put anything together by
it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion to cancel next week's meeting? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. There will not be a meeting on Wednesday. Do I move to extend?
I tentatively have April 26th down to discuss the Boys and Girls Club HVAC. Other than that, that is all I have. Downtown lighting for May 3rd, possibly.
Sorry. Councilmember Davis?
Yeah, the 19th is our 4P.
P4 committee.
P4, and maybe we can just move that to the 26th if that's.
It's what the
The transportation planning, public safety, and everything, all that other stuff.
P4.
Okay, can everybody make the P4 committee that is on the committee if it is moved to the 26th of April?
Is everybody okay with that?
I should be okay.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. When you bring back the information about the Boys and Girls Club, if you could bring back like all the details and everything, that'd be great.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Anything further, Mr. Brazel? Okay. There is no other further business for this evening. Councilmember Gamble?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much for your service. Have a great evening.